I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Modern Superior.
Hello, welcome to episode 307 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, March 21st, 2018, and my name is Dan Gorman. And see here where it says void, 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 this is not a check, cash value 1/20th of a cent, Mr. Banker, do not honor.
My name is Casey Lyons, and remember that everything happens for a reason. And sometimes that reason is because you're stupid and make bad decisions.
My name is Greg LeGros, and no, it's not like horse. Psst. 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 Duh. Should have been gone. No more journey psych outs.
Oh, we have tons of stuff.
Now you got to get the ball, bitch.
We have tons of stuff to talk about this week. Two of us got to watch whatever we wanted to in our winner's choice in Film Roulette, while one of us stayed home and watched. Hashtag squad goals. We have a punishment album to talk about. We will roll for movies for next week's episode and more. Before we get to any of that, you can email us at info@modernsuperior.com. You can rate and review us on iTunes at modernsuperior.com. You can go and click the Patreon button and gain access to our Slack channel as well as bonus content. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC. And how's it going, guys?
Oh, Casey's back.
Yay! I'm so happy to be back. I missed the show very, very much. Huge, huge thank you to Jamie Du for filling in for me.
Oh, great.
Doing
that.
A much better job than I ever could.
That's what we all thought.
Yeah. This will be your last episode.
Yeah. This is the farewell. Yeah.
Wait, you brought me back to fire me?
Yeah, you assholes.
Why did you do this?
Thank you to Jamie. And if you aren't subscribed to a Show of Strengths podcast feed, you should do that. He's very close to doing some full episodes from what I've been told. Mm-hmm. So check that out.
Another very quick shout out. And a huge thank you. My family has been very sick. Specifically, my son has had some pretty big issues. He's feeling better now. But a huge shout out and thank you to listener and friend Matt Bain, who made me and my family some chicken soup.
That's amazing.
And gave it to us. It is the best chicken soup I've ever had.
You know, it was just Matt's birthday, too. So happy birthday, Matt.
Happy birthday.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he's been a long-time supporter of the show. Yeah, he's great.
Just after Zoe was born, when Athena and I were in, sleep deprivation madness, he brought over some spaghetti that he made one day.
And
it was delicious.
It's crazy.
Like he made the sauce, too.
Meatballs
and the whole thing. It was so good.
It's not enough that he's one of Canada's best artists.
Yeah.
Also, he makes the best soup of all time.
Yeah. He is just terrific.
What an all-around wonderful person. Yeah,
pretty nice.
Totally.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Plus, it was just wonderful to see him.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen him in a million years.
What's his website? We should go look at his art.
Yeah, is it Matt Bain?
I'm assuming it's mattbain.com.
.com. Let's see. You can, if you want to Google his name.
Yeah, I'm searching him.
It's B-A-H-E-N.
Yep. Yeah, Matt Bain. Yeah.
M-A-T-T-B-H-B-A-H-E-N. HEN.com.
Yeah. I don't think we make a big enough deal of the fact that extremely talented people are listen to our show.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're not talented, start listening.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you'll get talented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go check out his website, though. His paintings are
unbelievable.
Some of my favorite paintings I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not talented, conversely, stop listening to us. We only want cool dudes.
Yeah, yes. No suckers allowed.
Get out of here, you talentless hacks.
Well, speaking of talentless hacks, let's all discuss some movie news. So I wrote down some stuff for the Itty Bitty Tidbit Committee, a.k.a. movie news and things that we have been watching through the week before we talk about our other stuff at part of the show.
Yeah.
Did you guys have anything off the top of your heads that you wanted to get to movie-related or movie news-related?
You know, probably, but I just cannot think right now. I'm so tired.
I know.
I've been awake since 2:30 a.m. the night before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah!
You know the worst when you're tired and you say you're tired and somebody's like, oh, yeah, well.
You think you're tired.
I'm not allowed to be fuck off.
No, you can be tired. I'm also tired, so I know how you feel being tired.
I know.
Yeah.
You're not doing that. Yeah, I'm a garbage man today.
Yeah, I'm slamming another energy drink, and I mentioned on the Slack that last week's episode, I was like, well, I'm glad it was good because it was just a blur of vibrations after I drank an energy drink.
I was in a coffee crazy
time. Yeah.
Well, it sounded great. It was a great episode.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Good ep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's a thing that was good that is coming back round again.
Key.
Did you guys know that they're going to do Matrix again?
I saw something about that, and I was I'll probably care about this about as much as I cared about The Matrix.
Yeah, so Zach Penn is apparently looking to do a Matrix reboot. And apparently this has been going on since March of last year. I did not realize. Maybe we even talked about it way back when, but...
just so dumb. Listen.
Yeah.
No more. They fucked it up.
Yeah.
If you'd left it be one movie and just like, that's that, it would have so much more respect.
Yeah.
But the first movie's great. It's so much fun. It's really interesting. Yes, I know you can pick it apart with some plot holes and things like that, but fuck it, man. It's a good time.
Yeah.
And then it took itself too seriously in gigantic fucking shit mess.
Yeah.
Why would you just leave it alone? It's a fucking mess. Leave it alone.
He apparently is trying to set the record straight. This article says that it's not exactly a reboot. This is his quote. All I can say at this point is no one could or should reboot The Matrix. People who know Animatrix and the comics understand. Do I want to see more stories set in the universe of The Matrix? Yes, because it's a brilliant idea that generates great stories. Look at what people are doing with the X-Men universe between Logan, Legion, and Deadpool. Does anyone want them to stop? Not me. So
I kind of want some stopping to happen. Things he said shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
With Legion and
I like that. The Legion show, great.
Legion, amazing.
Logan's, they're done with that.
Yeah, that's all.
They've moved on. Yeah.
Deadpool, I'm down for more of those.
Sure.
I heard
what's going to happen with Deadpool now with the Marvel.
Yeah.
Getting all their characters back because he's Sony, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Disney bought that.
I also heard there was some early word that the sequel to Deadpool is no good. But again, you always hear like the early word is this is amazing or this is terrible. Like who knows?
Yeah,
it could be three people saw some stuff and said it's terrible.
Yeah.
We don't know what their taste is, but I heard some rumorings on the internet that like people were like, oh, we're not happy with this movie. And that who knows?
That's a shame. Yeah. I really wanted it to be good.
Yeah. I'm hopefully.
About Cable being in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that, some Matrix stuff.
Yep.
Speaking of more things coming back around, Indiana Jones 5.
Oh,
to start filming
that.
In April 2019.
Why? Come on, man.
Yeah.
If you're not going to bring back those CGI monkeys, forget about it.
If there's no skull made of crystal, I'm not in.
I don't want all it. CGI monkeys and Shiny LaBeouf, and I'm in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, forget about it.
I assume that there's going to be no Shia.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah,
he's busy.
Nobody cares about him anymore.
What's he doing?
He's busy making or starring in a biopic about himself.
Are you being serious?
No. I mean, yes, I am being serious. I'm not joking. Apparently, there's somebody. He's going to be in a movie that's about his life as an actor and an artist, and he's going to play himself in this movie, and then somebody else is also going to play him his younger version.
Huh. I hope someone kills him soon.
That's not true. I don't know if anyone kills anyone.
But
I will say that his art installation that he did in New York City, where he screened all of his movies, including like the early like weird comedy Disney
holes
stuff and holes, where it was like a public screening room and anyone could come in, but he had a like a webcam in the room
on him
while
watching
he was just
all
watching all these movies, where he's like, oh god, what, like I was actually pretty amused by that.
Yeah,
but yeah.
But
yeah, he does weird things like that weird motivational video we made.
Yeah, with the green screens, like put it in whatever you want.
Yeah. That was bizarre.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it exists.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he's a strange person.
But yeah, I doubt he'll be in Indiana Jones 5.
He won't be, I guess.
And we don't know anything other than Spielberg said, I'll do it. And we're going to do it. And
yeah,
everyone's
on board.
Didn't
Harrison Ford call him a fucking idiot?
Yeah, something like that.
That's
it was a
lot
real
of
sweet
fun.
Burn. That's all I remember.
I mean, I've heard rumblings that it's that they're just going to completely recast Indy.
They were talking about Chris Pratt to be in everything, and then they've moved away from that, and this is going to happen, and with Harrison Ford.
Yep.
But they're saying that they want to then snap off another one real quick after that, so they want to do two indie movies.
Yeah.
Just jerk one out real quick.
Yeah. A movie.
Yeah.
They're gonna jerk out a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and Kathleen Kennedy and Frank Marshall are producing. Screenplay is going to be David Koepp again. So yeah, and Spielberg said that this won't be his final film; that he'll continue to make films after this. Blah, blah, blah. So,
oh, was that a
that was
what
a thing?
Weird,
apparently,
what a weird thing making to say.
Yeah, yeah. It said Spielberg promised one big thing for the fifth installment. He has said that Indiana Jones 5 won't be his last film.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
But the big surprise is that Kylo Ren kills Indy.
Yeah. Now, exciting things coming back around.
Okay.
Key and Peele are going to reunite.
Oh,
yes.
For
this
a
is
Netflix
very exciting
stop motion movie that will be directed by the director of Coraline,
Henry Selick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
holy shit. That's great. Also the director of The Nightmare Before Christmas.
And criminally underrated James and the Giant Peach, in my opinion.
Oh, terrific, yeah.
I never saw that.
Oh, it's
Coraline
great.
It is
great.
Very good, yeah. He's made a bunch of really great movies and then one Monkey Bone.
Listen, he's made precisely one Monkey Bone.
That movie is fucking horrible.
But the rest are awesome, so
I had to watch Monkey Bone.
Yeah, so they're going to do the voices. I'm not sure if they're involved on script level or anything, but they're going to be...
I would hope so.
Yeah, doing this with Henry Selick. That's going to be cool. I'm interested more in, like, Netflix has done some anime stuff and some other animation stuff, but this could be, like, a really cool flagship kind of, like, animated property for them. Yeah. I like that idea.
Very
cool. Of a stop-motion Netflix movie. So,
Yes, please.
That was most of the notable stuff here. Some trailers. Did you guys watch the Sorry to Bother You trailer?
Yes.
No.
No? Casey, you gotta watch this trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite a trailer.
Yeah. Lakeith Stanfield stars in this.
Oh shit! That's the Lakeith Stanfield one.
Yeah.
I thought that was the Melissa McCarthy one.
No.
I keep meaning to watch this. This is a Boots Riley director, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck! I want to see this.
Yeah, it looks amazing. He plays a down on his luck guy who ends up working, you know, doing a telemarketer job. And he ends up having to put on a, quote, white voice. And the white voice is David Cross voicing him.
Mm-hmm. What?
And then, like, starts to get, you know, move up the ladder in the increasingly bizarre kind of, you know, wild, satirical looking, you know, telemarketer
Patton
world.
Oswalt provides white voice for someone else as well.
Oh, my God.
It looks really, really good. The trailer looks phenomenal.
It's very funny.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen the trailer for Sorry to Bother You, you got to check it out. Because it looks like it's going to be the big movie this year, or one of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, my God. It sounds like an inspired comedy.
Yeah.
Is that a thing that you can still
do?
I don't know.
It sounds like a Spike Jonze movie.
Yeah. And it has, like, some visual stuff going on, like, really interesting choices.
Not just a radio play?
Yeah, it's not just a blank screen with, like, creaking doors and people.
You can see people.
Yeah, yeah. So... Sorry to Bother You. Check out the trailer.
All right.
What have you guys been watching? You want to get into some of that? Movies okay. we've been looking at with our eyeballs.
I watched a couple of things in my long sickness stint. I watched. I'll start. I watched a movie that supplanted Phantom Thread as my favorite movie of 2017.
Oh.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Wow.
You want to guess what it was?
No, I'm just kidding.
I watched The Florida Project.
Oh, yeah.
That is my favorite movie of 2017.
I love that movie.
Hell of a movie.
Holy fuck. Yeah. It's so fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good.
How about that ending?
Yeah.
oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
The little child inside of me is still crying.
Yeah. It's so
it's
good.
It's so fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, Willem Dafoe is fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. In my alternate Oscars world, he would have been the
absolutely.
Winner.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because what he did was spectacular.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, like, there's a lot of, like, improv scenes. Like, you know the scene where the birds just show up?
Yeah.
And then and he... He makes a weird little joke about Fowl, and he's like, well, there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
like everything about it, like these weird little improv moments and stuff like that just fit his character. And, like, and oh, my God, the scene with the guy that he's going to get the soda.
Yeah.
Holy fucking Christ. It goes on forever.
It's so good.
And it pays off so fucking perfectly. Oh, God, I love that movie. I absolutely love that movie.
Yeah, that would be...
And I just, the lady, I can't remember what her name is, the lady who plays...
The mother?
The mother.
Oh, wow. How about that performance?
I was like, oh, God, I hate you so much as a person.
Yeah.
But, like, in the midst of being such a terrible person, you're kind of a good mom.
Yeah.
And it's so conflicting.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh, boy, I love that movie.
Instagram? Is that where he found her?
Mm-hmm.
That's
something
nuts.
Like that, yeah.
What a great performance. She was so natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Florida Project. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah. Nice, yeah. everyone who has not seen that should see that.
Yeah.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. Something that we talked about a little bit right before we started recording was a little movie called The Last Jedi, which is out now digitally and Blu-rays, I imagine, are also hitting shelves.
I have seen it now about three or four times, I think.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it about two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen it three or four.
I'm watching some chunks.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it again since we last recorded.
I've seen the first half an hour like three times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I did watch was The Director and the Jedi, the feature-length documentary that is on the DVD, on the Blu-ray, and you can also get it by purchasing the movie digitally.
Ooh, la, la.
And I loved it. Oh my God, did I love this documentary. If you like Star Wars, you should probably watch it. If you are a lover of The Last Jedi or somebody who is conflicted by it, I feel like you should watch it. I don't think it's going to be the kind of behind-the-scenes documentary that changes opinions, but I think you will find lots to enjoy and lots to fuel your thoughts about the movie. And honestly, it was so emotional just to see all the Carrie Fisher stuff that, you know, and even stuff with Mark Hamill. And honestly, just to see what went into the movie from a physical effects perspective was just fucking phenomenal to see the sets that they built, all the stuff that, you know, I feel like there was so much in this movie, the practical effects that are almost easy to look at in the movie and be like, that's probably not real. And then you see these like amazing sets that they've built and these amazing puppets, like everything in the Canto Bite scene is like a real fucking puppet. And there's like a scene with John Boyega and Rose, and they're like, trying to figure out on the Canto Bite set, they're like, is that a person's face in that like thing, or is it an animatronic face? And they can't even figure it out, and they're standing beside it.
Right.
Like, I don't think it'll be like, oh, now I love Canto Bite or whatever, but I do think it'll be like, wow, the spectacle and the, you know, the talent of the people behind the scenes.
I would be extremely interested to see how the Canto Bight scene came about.
I loved it. I think there will be people that will watch it and be like, I didn't like Rian Johnson before and I don't like him now, but I thought that he came off really, really well in the movie. He seems like somebody who...
For somebody who sucks.
Yeah. For someone who made the worst movie ever. I found there was a lot to love in this documentary, and I found it very emotional. Again, specifically seeing Carrie again and seeing her amazing talent and humor and warmth, and just to be able to see that again was worth, you know, buying the digital and watching this documentary. But I think it stands up on its own as one of the better behind the scenes things I've ever seen.
I loved the one that came out with Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So,
It's really cool. I think it is worth watching for people that don't usually dig into like special features or whatever. If you like, I loved it. Mm-hmm. So
neat.
The director and the Jedi is definitely worth checking out.
Neat.
Yeah.
Neato.
Word. Greg?
What?
What did you watch?
Real quick, before I talk about actual things, on St. Patrick's Day, I was I don't know how many years or if ever I'll be away from the service industry where I won't think of St. Patrick's Day and shudder.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever will.
No, I fuck that holiday.
You know what? That holiday.
You know what's funny?
It's a holiday for dickholes.
Yeah, I agree, and... This year I like wasn't even thinking about it and went out to a bar that night.
Wow.
I was like, oh yeah, when I got there.
Horrible. It's worse, way worse than New Year's.
Yeah.
For amateur drinking and fucking
douchebaggery. Well, that's the thing, because people think that they're supposed to barf and punch.
Yeah.
Like because they're like, oh, that's what Irish people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked up Athena on the way home from work.
Yeah.
At like 4:30 or something. I picked her up down at like Young and Bloor, and driving along Bloor Street, I was looking out the window and some guy just puked on Bloor Street. And I was like, wow, what the... And I'm like, oh, right, it's St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. Oh, hi. Zoe's come to visit us again.
You going to say something?
But I did. I woke up and I thought to myself, I'm so glad I don't work in the service industry anymore.
Yeah,
I got a call from friend of the show, Mark Riley, at 8 in the morning. He's like, we don't work in the service. I know, I thought that myself.
That's funny.
Yeah. But then in my Facebook feed for memories, I got littered with every year me posting that it's not St. Patrick's Day, it's Kurt Russell's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I used to, of course, play tons and tons of Kurt Russell VHS back at the bar when Casey and I worked there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I should watch a little Kurt Russell. Something or other.
Yeah,
so
you should. I almost did that too.
I didn't. I thought it'd be a classic. And then I go, screw it. I threw on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 again.
Nice.
God damn it! I love that movie.
So good.
I love it's it, yeah. so good.
Yeah.
I like it as much as the first one, maybe more.
I don't know why. Maybe it's the whole tone, like the light tone of those movies, and yet at the same time, it does get extremely tearful and poignant at the end.
Yeah.
I feel like CGI young Kurt Russell. Kind of all right.
I was like, yeah, this looks pretty good for like Marvel's done that fairly well
with
a couple of times
Rob Downey Jr.
and Michael Douglas.
Yeah. I feel like it works best when the person who is getting it done to them has a very specific look when they were younger. Like Michael Douglas obviously does too, but I found specifically with Robert Downey Jr., having seen him in like watched Back to School a million times or whatever, I was just like, oh my god, it's the young guy I know from all these 80s movies. Yeah. So I'm able to overlook the like, well, he doesn't look perfect.
Right. and they have a lot of reference to draw from around 1980 Kurt Russell. So
totally.
Nailed it. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, what a great movie.
There's another one recently where they did it really well. Oh, Blade Runner 2049.
Mm.
It was the only time I didn't
was happy
mind
to see Sean Young.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah.
Super good.
All right. Keep watching it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I talked longer than I thought I would about a rewatch, so I'll save my next thing for later.
Casey, what else? Anything else you want to bring up?
Yes. Oh my yes. I started to watch an Academy Award nominated film.
Oh.
Because I was like, this would be the movie that I will talk about for Film Roulette, because it's very interesting. Again, thank you very much, Jamie Du, for rolling me a winner.
Nice.
So we started watching the movie Ferdinand. which is a an animated film joint about a bull, and that movie is fucking boring. So we're like, more like animated bullshit. Yep. So I said, hey, this movie's really boring, huh? And she was like, my wife was like, yes, it is. So we don't have to keep watching this. Yeah.
You should watch the rest of Coco.
I should watch the rest of Coco, but the thing is, I fell asleep, and Miles and the kids kept watching it, so there's no point where I'm going to sit down by myself and finish Coco.
That, that ship is sailed.
Yep.
Until Beatrice wants to watch it again. Or
exactly. Like when she's old enough to make her own decisions, and at which point I assume she'll want to watch Caddyshack.
Yeah. Nice. So a turn off for Ferdinand.
Yeah. I watched.
What did you turn on, Dan?
What turns you on, Dan?
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. I want to very quickly mention something that I'm in the process of watching, a series on Netflix. It's their new kind of documentary series that they're pushing called Wild Wild Country. Have you guys heard of this?
Oh, no. I saw the you know, like, you know how Netflix is aggressively advertising their stuff now?
Yeah.
So I saw that, but I was like, oh, I don't know what this is, and now I'm tired. So.
Well, it's their documentary series, which is based on the Indian guru Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh.
Right.
And it's about the cult slash kind of commune that they set up in the States, in a very small town area in the States. And it is produced by the Duplass brothers, which made me kind of want to like kind of walk back when I was like, hey, they're going to make more stuff for Netflix and it'll all be boring down the middle, whatever. Yeah. And so, yeah, they produced this and it starts with an episode that I found just okay. I found the first episode where I was like, oh, I'm really excited to see this, but now I'm kind of just, I don't know. There was something about the first episode that didn't totally and completely grab me, but now I'm like 4 or 5 episodes out of 6 in and like completely, you know, making a murderer. Just kind of like, oh, got to see the end of this. And Emma was like, I don't want to watch it tonight while you're podcasting. I was like, you better not. We got to watch this together because I don't want to like it. We're both just like so into it. It's so great. And I won't talk about it too much longer. But yeah, Wild Wild Country on Netflix is essential viewing for documentary series fans. Yeah.
Yeah. I love me a good documentary series.
Yeah.
I love getting invested in like real lives.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of turns. It's, you know, I think one of the things that I didn't love about the first episode was, you know, this is a real thing that happened, so nothing is really a spoiler, but I found it was one of those things where a lot of the cards are laid on the table in the first episode, and then I thought like, oh, all this stuff happens, but I didn't get the satisfaction of the build-up. And then with all the other episodes, I got the satisfaction of the build-up anyway, so it wasn't like a big deal that, you know. But it takes some turns into some places, and I will say, it's been a while since I watched a documentary where, you know, your feelings on different parties go back and forth throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of times where I'm like, they were totally persecuted. Like, fuck, America built what they end up coming to be by the way they treated them. And then there's other times where I'm like, well, that they shouldn't have done that, you know, and like, oh, well, maybe the legality of it is right. Or, and you go back and forth.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I do love that. I love it when an issue is complex.
Yeah. Oh, it's super complex, because there was definitely moments where I was like, that is insane that that happened, and then other moments where I'm like, but also that's what they couldn't have done. Why'd they do that? So yeah, Wild Wild Country is definitely worth getting into.
Dynamite
on Netflix.
Dynamite.
Yeah. What else? Who's next?
Greg? I've been watching a Netflix series too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've been watching crime drama 7 Seconds.
Oh, I've been meaning to watch that.
Yeah.
Is it called crime drama 7 Seconds?
Yes. Yeah. Emma's sister was like, you guys got to watch this. We haven't got to it yet.
It's 10 episodes. I've seen 8, 9. Yeah. Plowing through it because it is just great.
What is it about?
It is about a...
Sounds short.
Yeah. I've seen almost all of it. And I don't know why it's called 7 Seconds at all. It is about a young police officer who's like part of a, he just got promoted into a detective's unit.
Yeah.
And he's about to become a father for the first time. And he hit and runs, well, he hits a 15-year-old black teenager riding his bike. And he and his crew leave the kid and just try and disappear it. And so it's how all of that unravels their lives and the lives of the family involved.
Wait, I'm sorry. This is a
series.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a show.
It's like a
series.
Yeah. Documentary.
No. Oh, it's a drama series.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, it's intense.
Yeah.
And the performances are fucking amazing.
Who in it?
Nobody big. I don't have a, I'm trying to wrangle a baby. I can't pull up the names of.
I'll get it up.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing?
But a girl from, what do you call it there? Clive Owen.
A girl from Clive Owen.
A girl from Clive Owen.
It stars
Science
David
fiction.
Lyons, Claire Hope, Ashity, Regina King.
Regina King.
Yeah. That's the only person that's like super well known on there. She is remarkable.
I love her.
In this show. Maybe the best thing she's done. She really delivers a hell of a
performance. She's always fantastic.
She's amazing. I don't care my phone now. So, you got the cast list there?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a guy who plays Fish.
Abe Vigoda?
Yeah. He says, like, is something in quotations, Fish. All right, so, a guy named Michael Mosley plays a character named, nicknamed Fish. Yeah.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's great. I don't really know what I've seen him in, but he immediately has that... I don't know, kind of captivating thing going on. Like he's the thing I've been mentioning about being natural, but bringing performance to it to make it entertainment. He's just got that. He does like little things that just keep it like it's a boring scene, but he's going to be interesting in it.
Seems
knows
like
how
a
to,
lot
like,
of
add something to it. Either he's going to fidget with something or whatever, to make it draw your eye to something and make it interesting. You know.
Seems like a lot of episodes of television, like in Scrubs, Fear the Walking Dead, was in that Ozark show on Netflix. A bunch of
Yeah,
so
actually, it's a breakout role, I'd say. He's just terrific in it. Russell Hornsby is outstanding as well, but really, this is all about Regina King.
Yeah,
Claire Hope, Ashity. I'm not sure how to say her name. She's the lead, and she's wonderful. And she was in Children of Men.
Oh, okay.
I was looking for there with Clive Owen. It's strong performances across the board, and kind of interesting. Interesting turns happen.
Yeah, I got to start watching that.
It doesn't completely just fall into stereotypes, which is great. But it's a solid watch. We're just cruising through it.
Nice.
It's really good.
I'm gonna start watching it.
It sounds good. So he has selected a film for the evening.
Scream Blackula. Scream
Blackula. Scream. She's heard good things.
Yeah,
it's a fine film.
Yeah. So 7 Seconds on Netflix.
That's right. Yeah. I recommend it.
What, Casey, did you have anything else?
Speaking of Netflix, I watched a Netflix documentary.
Oh, yeah.
A little Netflix documentary called Jim and Andy.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yes, I did.
This is the Jim Carrey documentary about him getting into the role of Andy Kaufman.
It's interesting.
It's extremely interesting.
Yeah.
Extremely interesting. It's a great watch.
I feel like there's a turn coming.
I feel like something's coming.
I do have that tone I use.
Yeah.
The turn's coming tone?
Well, it's just that Jim Carrey's such a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I've heard that about
like,
that.
It is infuriating, this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like... you know how whenever Jared Leto mails somebody a dead rat or a condom, and you're like, just act, you fucking precious idiot.
Yeah.
It's a whole movie of that.
Yeah.
And it's a whole movie of Jim Carrey justifying his horrible behavior on the set of Man on the Moon. And... like to the point where it's the tragic figure of this movie is Milos Forman.
Oh yeah.
because he's such a wonderful director.
Yeah.
And he has to put up with this fucking idiot who the entire time is like, no, I'm Andy. Who's Jim? Oh, no. I don't know who Jim is because I'm Andy. Yeah. No, I'm Tony Clifton.
Jermilo Sherman's like, why didn't I cast Cusack?
Yeah. And he literally, like, you hear Milos Forman go like, can't we just fucking do this? Like, can't you just fucking act? And Jim Carrey's like, at a point, Jim Carrey tells a story about how, you know, he went to Milos Forman and was like, you know, he really wanted me to do it. He was frustrated with it, but, you know, that's the magic of Andy. And I'm like, no, that's the idiocy of you. Yeah. And he's like, and so at a point I went to Milos and I was like, that's fine. I can just do an imitation of Andy Kaufman and just do it as myself if that's what you want. But he's basically saying, look, I'll tank your fucking movie unless you play along with my fucking bullshit vanity bullshit. and Milos Forman was like, oh, fine. Do your little fucking thing, you idiot. Yeah. Oh, God. It really is just the most frustrating portrait of somebody who takes themselves way too fucking seriously.
Who else was like really close to getting that role? Because it was down to a few people. John Cusack was one of them, I remember. Kevin Spacey, I think, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that might make
sense.
God,
that would have been disgusting.
Yeah.
And not just because Kevin Spacey.
Like one other like real big name that was like really close to getting that.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just like a home run.
Andy
like,
Dick.
Yeah. Andy.
No. Yeah. God. It's so. And the thing is, if you watch Man on the Moon, he's not great in it. He's fine.
He's good.
And
he's good
at the end
it.
Of the day, he really is just doing an Andy Kaufman impression.
Yeah.
Like his acting or the humanity of the character is not really there because that's not something Jim Carrey can handle, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So the end result is they could have. They could have skipped a lot of the interruptions because he would just disrupt entire days. Because when they were shooting a Tony Clifton scene, he would show up as Tony Clifton. And, of course, Tony Clifton has to fuck everything up.
And
you know, Bob Zemuda is going along
pockets.
With it.
Yeah.
And the thing that really kind of bummed me out is that he really got Andy Kaufman's family involved. And he, like, because the family would show up and he was like, there was one day where Andy Kaufman's daughter showed up and, you know, she was like this estranged daughter who didn't know her father and never really met him. And so she came and sat in the trailer with me and I, you know, was Andy at the time. And so I talked to her as Andy and she really got a lot of stuff.
Nutcase.
I was like,
whoa,
oh my God,
my
you wildly
crap.
Irresponsible piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Andy's parents were there and they really, you know, they really got to spend a lot of time with Andy through me. And I'm like, no,
oh
you
God.
Just have a lot of money, you fucking megalomaniacal asshole. Like, it really paints a picture of Jim Carrey as just a self-important, like, nominal talent. He's really great at doing faces and voices and shit. Otherwise, meh. Now he's an artist, of course.
Right. But the other people who were, like, right on, like the top contenders for the role of Andy Kaufman were John Cusack, Kevin Spacey, Hank Azaria, and Ed Norton.
Okay.
I don't want to see any of that. I don't want to see anyone. Like, the thing is, I'm not. I find a lot of who Andy Kaufman was as a person interesting, but a lot of what he did not interesting.
Yeah, I feel like my
what
reaction,
do you mean? Like the stuff he's famous for. Like the character on Taxi or the Mighty Mouse.
Well, Latko was fine. Like that. Yeah. That was.
I know he hated that.
He
but
did.
Listen, I watched Taxi like crazy when I was a kid, and anytime he was on the screen, I was like, yay!
Absolutely. But also, I was. Just fine when they replaced him with Christopher Lloyd.
Fair enough, because, Christopher Lloyd is incredible.
Fucking phenomenal.
Reverend Jim?
The Reverend
oh
Jim.
God.
Yeah, one of my favorite television characters.
Ever.
So, like, Andy Kaufman as a culturally relevant, you know, comedian, does nothing for me. I'm like, right. Yes, I see what you're doing. You're doing these things that, you know, that are supposed to incite whatever the fuck, you know, the wrestling with women and all of these things. But I'm like, but it all feels very empty. Mm-hmm. Like none of it is backed up by the spark of comedy. So, yeah, I'm not that interested in Andy Kaufman as a person.
But the documentary, even though you sounded like you liked it.
It's fascinating.
As much as it made you like annoyed by him, but that was part of what was so fascinating.
Well, that's what's fascinating about it, is to watch somebody's self-delusion, you know, backed up by money.
Yeah.
You know, fuck with the production of a movie that should have that was helmed by a master director, and should have should have gone a lot differently than it did.
Yeah, I've actually never seen Man on the Moon. I should probably check it out.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Courtney Love shows up, and God damn it, she's the worst person.
It's an interesting movie.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. There's parts of it that are. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. It's certainly my least favorite Milos Forman movie that I've seen. I think.
Yeah, I think I would. Mm. Yeah, yeah, I would say that as well. Mm.
Mm. So, Jim and Andy on Netflix. Check it out.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other reviews before we get to Film Roulette? I'm tapped out.
Yeah, I got one other
You have
thing.
One more?
You guys talked about way, way back.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've kept up with it, but... are you up to date with American Crime Story, the Versace?
No.
We gave it a shot. We watched the first one, one and a half, and then we kind of had to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then we gave it another shot, and then we were like, this is not doing anything for me whatsoever.
Really? I'm still just a few episodes in, but was really enjoying it, just haven't gotten back around to finishing.
Yeah. I'm up to date on it.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
I liked what I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really fascinating. There's great performances in it. It's got it isn't what the OJ one was.
No.
I find it's not as pulpy, if that makes sense. Like, it's not
no,
as...
No, totally, it isn't. But it does get really... It starts to jump around in time a lot.
Yeah, the time stuff is interesting.
And
it's almost like
you see some really crazy... Because a couple of characters pop up and I'm like, oh, well, that's weird that actor played. Oh, and then I'm like, two episodes later, I'm like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going back 5 years.
Yeah,
before.
It's almost like the episodes, you know, where they end, the next episode is like going back from there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In some regards. Like, there's a lot of like... We started at what happened, and now we're going back to see the leading up to it. Almost.
Totally, and it's really well handled in that respect. Edgar Ramirez is phenomenal.
I think he's phenomenal. I think Penelope Cruz is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, she is just killing it.
I don't much care for the main kid, the kid who plays Andrew Quinn.
Yeah, I get that from my beginnings with the show, but where I am now, I'm like, nope, they should. There's nobody else that was going to do this.
Is that right?
But yeah.
He gets there?
Oh, fuck, it's so good, because you start to see all these different layers of what's going on with Andrew Cunanan and how he is the way he is. And
there were moments like when he's getting a room at this hotel and he meets like this other
and
guy.
He wants to change the rooms and stuff.
Where I was kind of like, oh, I he's playing this interestingly enough.
Yeah.
But then there's other moments where I'm like, this guy's just doing a big song and dance.
I would recommend you continue watching. He gets extremely well rounded. So the last episode was you see a little bit of his father, who's a I don't know the actor's name and I've seen him before, but that guy just like the people just keep coming in for like a role or whatever here and there and just fucking killing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me look him up. But he was phenomenal. I loved the episode. It's just a fascinating bit of everything that's happening, how it all just collides. You know how it collides because it was the first episode and you know what the story is, but it's so preposterous that all this would go down, and it has these moments of just absolute horror.
Yeah.
Just horror.
I watched the first episode or two, and then we had like a very brief discussion of it, and then recently... I was driving around with my friend Taylor, friend of the show, and he was saying, like, oh, we're further down, and it's really, really great. And so then I went and Emma and I watched, like, another episode or two. And so we're taking it really slow, but I really want to keep with it. Because where we got to, I was like, this is really interesting. And I want to get to the end. I actually, even though I've only seen, like, four or whatever episodes, I like it. I think I like it better than the OJ episode. I didn't even. I was like one of.
The,
I didn't really.
I
love
that
OJ series.
The OJ stuff. Yeah, it really just brought me back to that time, which was really exciting. Yeah. This might be better. It might be more well directed. Because it may. I don't know. But I know the actor I'm talking about who plays Conan's father. His name is John Briones. He's a Filipino actor. He's amazing.
Nice.
What else was he in?
He was in Sons of Anarchy. What else?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know what?
Stuff I haven't seen. I don't know. Bones, The Mentalist.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. You know what? Every time, and it's so juvenile and so stupid. Every time I think of the Versace, even just the name Versace, and I feel terrible for this because it makes me laugh every time, is that stupid line in that stupid Eminem song where he goes, "Hey, it's me, Versace. Whoops, somebody shot me." Like, damn it. That shouldn't make me laugh because it's so dumb and juvenile, but it does every time.
Yep.
Oh, Eminem.
Oh,
you prankster.
You little scamp.
You little scamp.
You scamperoo.
But yeah, I would really recommend that you dig into it a bit more.
Hey, maybe
there's just so many things I really want to watch. Waco, and I really want to watch
I've been watching that too.
I'm dying to start watching Trust when that comes out.
It's like this is some kind of golden age of television.
Well, it's the golden age of way too many fucking shows.
So many Waco is super good. I think the Versace show is better. But Waco's good. Really good performance. Yeah, I was saying last week, Taylor Kitsch is awesome.
Yeah.
Which, he's really turning into something, maybe.
I just burped straight up into the mic, so I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
You've been away for a week or two.
It's been
building up. Got to announce that you're back.
I think honestly, if I'm going to invest in anything based on what the little I've seen of it, I'm so excited about Trust. I think it looks fucking so good.
Fucking
nice.
Fuck.
Oh my god.
She's so fucking good.
Really quick, my last thing before Film Roulette. I want to just say, anyone that's looking for super fluffy, don't have to think about anything, Netflix programming, the show, the cooking show, nailed it. We mentioned about it off mic, but Emma and I have been watching it as our, like, you know, we get up in the morning and we're getting ready for work, and then we have just enough time for like a 25-minute thing before we both go to work, and we put on Nailed It, and it's a show where they have three contestants come on and try and bake something based off of, like, they show you this insane cake and then they have to try and replicate it. And it's a show about failure and enjoying your failure. And it's not, you know, it's a lot of fun and it's not mean and everybody has a good time and it's very funny.
And it's hosted by one of the funniest people in the whole wide world.
Yeah. Nicole
Byer.
Yeah. She's so funny. She makes the show.
Podcast listeners will know her for being on all the podcasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also, they get good guest hosts that come in and they get really unique and fun contestants. It's not just like, oh, look at this asshole, doesn't know how to bake, you suck. It's very like they're in on the joke and everyone, it's just, it's so enjoyable.
Hi, I'm an asshole who doesn't know how to bake.
Want me on your show?
Let's make it some cookies.
It's a fun one. It's fun. And I was a little skeptical because it's like, hey, a reality show based off a meme coming at you. But it's very enjoyable.
Neat.
So nailed it. Neato. If you're into that kind of thing.
So very quickly, very, very quickly, because I don't want to talk about because you guys talked about it. I watched Paddington 2.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, German.
I love it so much.
It's the best.
I love it so much.
Yeah. I was doing a little...
I loved it as much as I love the first one, and I fucking love the first one.
Yeah, I was doing a little Twitter thing where it was like, reblog this with like your favorite movie picks from these years, and both the year that Paddington came out and the year that Paddington 2 came out, I was like, I just want to pick these. Like, yeah. I love them so much.
I legitimately fucking love them.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Please, Paddington 2, please, watch them. So many people that I talk to in real life think it's a joke when I recommend that. They're like,
those people
what?
Are dumb.
What?
You
people at work, they're
talking
like,
to them immediately.
Paddington, what? That's good? I'm like, fucking watch it. It's the best.
It is the fucking best.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Anything else? Film roulette?
Fine.
You should have just kept going.
I did.
The roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll the die and the two high rollers get to go see something good, or this week get to pick whatever they want to watch in a winner's choice week. The low roller has to see something terrible. This week it was hashtag squad goals, and the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. We will talk about our punishment album, talk about our two movies, and roll for the movies for next week's episode. You guys won.
Mm-hmm.
You got the roll.
And you guys nothing.
And I lost. So what do you guys want to talk about for your winner's choice picks of the week?
Movie I saw.
All right. Who's going first?
Oh, fine. Well, I'm all ramped up.
Yeah.
I saw Annihilation.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Danny.
Alex Garland.
Boyle worked with this guy.
Wonderful Danny.
Wonderful Danny.
Alex Garland, one time Danny Boyle working with her guy. Second feature.
Yeah.
Talked about previously by me, but not in too much depth.
Yeah. I read a thing just recently, too, that, you know, possibly a third feature, really.
Yes.
Carl Urban was like, listen, he directed Dread.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those things where, you know, the director did a lot on the movie, but in terms of creative force to be stamped on this movie, it was an Alex Garland movie.
Yeah. And he's got quite a nice list of films he's written as well. He's a fine writer.
Yeah. He's been
doing stuff.
Yeah.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah.
And no doubt because Dread is so fucking good.
It's so good.
Yeah. And when you think about it, you're like, because I was even one where I thought, you know, I didn't even think of it in terms of Alex Garland, even though I knew who he was when that movie came out and I knew that he wrote it. But for some reason, I just never thought of it. But then now I'm like, yeah, no wonder that movie was amazing. And it's probably because he did so much for it.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Dread, that's the last movie that I saw multiple times in the theater, I think. I saw it three times in the theater, which
so
I can't even fucking imagine doing that now. three? It'll be a long time before ever that happens again. I guess until Zoe makes me take her to something over and over again.
Yeah.
So Dread is pretty much perfect. Ex Machina is a pretty much a masterpiece.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? Annihilation. I guess if people don't really know, it's about a former army, now scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie Portman decides to, after her husband is missing for a year, but then
shows
returns
up
mysteriously.
Yeah,
she is then taken into Area X, is that to witness something called the shimmer.
The shimmer
that is a bizarre anomaly that is growing from an area around a lighthouse,
and anyone that goes in never comes out.
They don't know
what's going on.
No technology can exist in there. They've tried to send drones in, everything, and it's been there for 3 years. They can't figure out what's happening, but it is growing slowly.
Yeah. They're saying, like, at this rate that it's growing, like, it's going to get to a point where it starts taking over places that are populated. Right. So we got
to
go in and figure
it
out.
Until now, but, for now, but it's going to get out of hand. So a team of five are going to go into the Shimmer to investigate some more. And yeah, I'll leave it at that as far as your synopsis. So yeah, this is a crazy movie.
I loved it.
I loved
it. It's so good.
It's remarkably good.
It's good.
I
can't wait to see it again.
Absolutely stunning to look at.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful movie.
Yeah. But beautiful in the way that I was trying to get at in my review, like beautiful in that body horror, beauty, disgusting, twisted together.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous movie, but there's also like horrifying things.
Well, the thing is, I think with that, the body horror stuff is like there's things that are horrific to think about happening, but it was never put on display as being either completely beautiful or completely ugly.
Yeah,
they blended the two things quite frequently, and everything has kind of a natural way about it. It's horrific to think about because it's scary, but the way things are displayed are kind of the way that something might occur naturally. So it isn't like yuck, look at this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Well, there's a good yuck scene, but you know.
Oh my god.
There's a real rough scene.
There's a real in a movie theater, the rough scene was just like so palpable. Yeah. So everybody in the movie theater being like, like, yeah, it's got and then another scene that's a horrific scene of like of just a really amazing tense horror.
Are we talking
scene.
Bone Tomahawk bad?
No.
That is my bar.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's the bar.
Definitely not that. That's that really like no, it's not like that.
Right.
This isn't a grotesque kind of like that shouldn't be happening. This is fucked up kind of grotesque kind of
There's some really remarkable things that go down in this movie.
Yeah.
And all of it has a very unique tone. And it's a great, science fiction has always been a fantastic vehicle for metaphor.
Yeah.
And whether this is a metaphor for cancer.
Yeah.
Or whether this is a metaphor for personal self-destruction.
Yeah. It's all there.
Both work. Maybe it's both. I'm not really...
I think it's
wonderful because it is wide open to interpretation.
But it's,
you take what you want from it,
totally.
But you're not going to be like, I don't know what happened at the end. You know, it's like
it's not so wide open.
It's
not so wide open that it's like the director being like, what do you think? It's there's a lot of stuff that points to some very specific, metaphors and very specific themes, and you can put them together in ways that seem like the movie is helping you get there. It's not like one of those movies where it's just like, whoa, I don't know what it's about. Like, it is very specifically, there's stuff about cancer in the movie. And it's very specifically about self-annihilation and self-destruction. But it's all done in a way where it's like, it lets you read into it. And it lets you, it guides you into it. But yeah, it's really well executed in that regard. Yeah. I can't wait to see it again.
No, I will definitely watch this movie again. So Alex Garland, 3 for 3.
Yeah, it's got a real I get frustrated when I think like a studio backed Mother, which is like I didn't like the movie, but what an audacious thing to put in theaters and tell people, the mainstream viewers, to go see, and then you see something like this, which is like challenging, but it's not like so out there that it grabs you. There's a plot. It really moves and it gets to a place that's really bizarre. But it's like for them to be like, oh, we have no faith in this, and overseas we're going to put it out on Netflix. It just feels like it's not that out there.
No, it isn't. I mean, it's pretty out.
It is.
It is out there.
It is. But
no more than.
Like Mother takes a fucking turn.
Yeah, and Mother sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's great.
Sucks.
But like
this isn't more, maybe it's a little more out there than Arrival, but I mean.
But not by
an
insane amount, no.
This is a better movie than Arrival.
I agree.
Yeah,
I where it went, I thought, again, it touched on that like there's like a almost like a balletic, you know, ballet kind of to the finale that it was just gorgeous to see and so thought provoking and
I can't wait to see this again.
Yeah, it's the more I think about it, the more I love it.
Quite remarkable, really great. Absolutely watch this movie.
Yeah,
hurry up,
Annihilation. Check it.
Yeah.
You gotta.
Can't wait to see what he does next.
Yeah. Casey?
What?
Would you check out?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. I watched something that I really wanted to talk about that I am extremely conflicted about.
Okay.
Not a regular movie type movie.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a much reviled stand-ups special.
Ooh.
Ricky Gervais' Humanity.
Yeah. I've seen some stuff about this.
I read some stuff about
this. As had I.
Yeah.
Now, I will preface this by saying there was a long stretch of my life where Ricky Gervais was an extremely important person to me.
I quite remember this.
Yes.
This is just, you know, The Office.
The
just
Office,
happened.
That's where
his
it started.
Podcast.
Yeah,
well,
the podcast.
That was the thing. I mean, his podcast is what started me down the road of podcasts.
Yeah,
right.
His relationship with Stephen Merchant and Carl Pilkington was an extremely instrumental thing for me for a long time, to the point where I had downloaded, like, all sorts of bootleg radio shows that they had done, like XFM radio and stuff like that. I listened to everything that that Ricky, Steve, and Carl had done. Watched everything that that, you know, Ricky and Steve had done.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a point where Ricky and Steve split off from each other. I don't know what happened to their relationship. That's not for me to know. I don't care.
Right.
But I do know that Ricky Gervais suffered greatly as a result of the split, and started to become what felt very much like a David Brent type character.
Yeah.
You know, appearing in, was it Rolling Stone or something?
The picture of him with
the picture of him with atheist written across his chest, you know, naked from the waist up.
With the mic stand,
the
he's
mic
doing
stand,
the Christ.
He's being a Jesus. When I look at it, to be fair, I do go, Jesus.
I do laugh when I look at that.
Yeah.
but with a serious look on his face and no irony
and
or anything.
Zero irony whatsoever.
It's wonderful.
And so, he just steadily disappointed me. And I hung on for a long time.
Sure.
To the point where I watched that David Brent special that just he did without Steve, and I tried my hardest to like it, and there were things about it that I did like, because David Brent is a very lovable, flawed character.
Yeah.
And there was elements of David Brent in it, but it was misguided. So I watched this just to see, because what everybody was saying was, you know, because his whole thing now is he's a shock comic.
Yeah.
He's the comic who will say anything. But more so than that, he's the comic who wants you to know that he'll say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to reassure you that he will say anything.
Yeah.
AIDS, he'll say it. You know, some transphobic, thinly veiled transphobic bullshit. He'll say it.
Oh.
But, guys, he's just being himself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he has a whole chunk about how he was too real for the Golden Globes and how everyone was so scared of what he was going to say. Like, he's so far up his own ass.
Yeah,
boy.
About, like, to the point where, like, he has a whole bit about how he was, like, you know, how everyone was so worried about what he was going to say. But it's like, nobody was really that worried about what you were going to say. Everybody knew you were going to take some cheap shots at people.
Yeah.
Everybody knew the rest of it was going to be fairly innocuous. And there were going to be a couple things that you felt were very offensive.
Yeah.
But cutting edge and funny. But in fact, they were just kind of offensive and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what much of this is.
Yeah.
Much of this is him. At a point, he compares himself, because he's talking about Caitlyn Jenner. And he makes a couple of jokes about her as a driver and about women drivers. And I'm like,
very cutting edge comedy.
Yeah. And I'm like, look, take Caitlyn Jenner to task over, you know, running someone over and then running away from the scene. That is some straight up bullshit that a shitty celebrity did.
Yeah.
But then when you go on to compare how you're going to transition into a chimp.
What?
Which dovetails into his atheism, because we're more genetically alike to chimps than chimps are to gorillas and all the rest of it. So he's going to transition into a chimp, and how he's still going to keep his girlfriend, and people are going to find it so disgusting that a woman is with a chimp,
What?
And he's trying desperately to make this point and to be funny with it, but he never quite makes the point. All he does is embarrass himself.
Oh, God.
So that goes on for a while. At a point, he gets into, he just kind of veers off from all of the, guys, I'll fucking say anything.
Yeah. Ugh.
And he talks about how he's old now, and there was a while where he wasn't fat, and then he was fat, and then he wasn't fat again. And he's like, but I'm getting fat again, and I'm old. So I'm just going to be fat again. And he starts talking, he starts relating stories from his life. Like these personal stories that are actually pretty wonderful. And there's some humanity in them. And you're kind of like, I see what you could be.
Yeah.
And, but you're way too far up your own ass with the fucking AIDS bullshit that he just uses the word AIDS like a buzzword, you know?
Yeah.
And then he tells stories of his brother and how his brother was like a big, you know, driving force in his comedic past. When he becomes a human being, it's actually quite wonderful to watch. And you kind of go, that's why I love David Brent, because there's a humanity behind it.
Yeah. Well, that's what all the old stuff, that's how it worked. That's why The Office was so great. That's why Extras was so great.
Yeah.
And all that early work. And then the turn started, you know. And That charm went away.
And that
the
charm
relatability
was named Stephen Merchant.
Yes.
It's so upsetting. I mean, I love Stephen Merchant to absolute death. I think he is a wonderful human being. His next project, a movie he's writing and directing, is something about family or something like that, but it's about a wrestler, and it stars The Rock.
Oh, sweet.
Or Dwayne Johnson, you're supposed to call him now.
Yeah,
right.
It stars Dwayne Johnson, and it's like a family comedy drama type of thing.
Oh, wow.
That sounds good. Yep. I can't wait to fucking see it.
Is the Gervais thing like? Is he just leaning into that stuff because now, like, I guess now is the time to do it because there's this like audience of people that are like, "What's up with all these fucking snowflake cucks?" That you're not allowed to say anything. Is he just like realizing now if I lean even harder into that maybe there's like an audience for it and people will come out?
Or, well, that's the upsetting
thing.
I don't get it.
Like
the upsetting thing about it is. I'm getting so tired of this. Man, you can't say anything nowadays. Yeah. It's like, if I want to say, you know, AIDS dick, whatever, like, I can't fucking say it without somebody on Twitter
being mad.
Telling me, well, I can't say AIDS dick. there's no free speech anymore. Yeah. No, it's like you can straight up go on Twitter and say AIDS dick all you want.
But when the overall majority of people are saying like, yo, how about don't anymore?
But the thing is, and even those people saying don't aren't saying you can't say it.
So we're sick of this. But something else now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody's saying like, no, you can totally say it. But the reason we don't laugh at vaudeville anymore is because it's not fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's not relevant anymore. And you running around saying AIDS, man, and like, I'm just telling it like it is. We're not interested. Nobody's interested anymore.
No, the shock comic thing is done.
It's so done. Like I understand and recognize how Anthony Jeselnik has funny in his bones. He's a funny man. He just takes the cheap route.
Yeah, and I feel like there's got to be a way to do like shocking comedy where it was shocking to be offensive had its time and place, and you know, reaction to, you know, certain types of comedy or like punk rock in your face. Like, right. I get it. But like, there's got to be a way for people to be shocking but also not pieces of garbage.
But you know, like, but at the same time, what do you fucking need to be shocking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
Like, why are you trying to be like, what
was
about being shocking
thing
anymore?
And was interesting, or at least caught everyone's attention when it really blew up in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, even Dennis Leary was considered a shock comic to a degree, right? But this was just a revolt to the 80s, like the 80s boom of stand-up comedy, which was super straight-laced.
Yeah.
It was really tidy, you know? And then it was like, no, we wear leather jackets and we say, fuck.
Yeah, we say, fuck, and we smoke, and we bring our notepads on stage. Because we don't conform to your
Man, it was a 90s thing. It's, well, this is a very long time ago now.
And it's not interesting. It's not relevant anymore. What's relevant is people being able to be fun and clever without being dicks about it.
Yeah.
And that's super interesting right now. And there are people who fucking do it so well right now. And, like, there's a huge comedy boom right now of people who are genuinely, like, using their imaginations. Like, Paul F. Tompkins is always going to be one of the funniest human beings that ever existed because he uses his imagination and expands it in this crazy way. Aparna Nancherla, another person who you're just like, you're saying incredible, relevant things and being fucking hilarious.
Totally. Or even, like, you know, when I think of somebody like a Harris Whittles, and I think about, like, how some of his comedy involved that kind of shock reveal or kind of, like, I can't believe he said that in response to his punchline but didn't sacrifice, you know, the humanity of it, because some of the stuff that he did was some of the most, like, we're all fucked up, we're all beautiful, we're all trying to, you know, some of that was
to
so touching, but then also he could do, like, a dumb joke or whatever.
It was never mean. It was just, it was fun wordplay. Like, one of my favorite things, one of the dumbest things Harris Whittles ever said was, he was like, I vowed not to get married until gay people are allowed to get married because I'm gay. Which, like, it's a super fun reveal, it's like fun wordplay, and it's and like, there's nothing malicious about it or anything.
No, and the point is that, like, that should, like, the underlying, you know, about it is, like, you know, they should be allowed to, like, there's
it's not even taking a stance one way or the other. It's just taking it as read that, well, obviously gay people should be allowed to get married. It's stupid that they're not. Here's some fun wordplay. And there's so much exciting comedy going on right now that revolves around using your imagination. And
And it is a shame.
This is just a fucking cheap way to get laughs.
It's a shame that they're the elements of Gervais that work are still up on stage and you can see it and you're like, do that.
just go in that direction.
Sucks.
Stop.
Yeah.
Because it really feels like he's trying to force it when he's, you know, talking about fucking Bruce Jenner's huge dick and how he must have had a fucking huge,
like,
dick, right, guys? Big old dick.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I saw
I hope this is a huge failure. Maybe it'll wake him up. Like, I have no interest in watching it. Like, I used to love him, too, but... Like, I look at the poster for, like, the thumbnail on Netflix with his, like, rawr, I'm a scary comedian.
Oh,
like, oh God.
It's so contrived.
Yeah.
All of it is just, it has nothing behind it.
Yeah.
It all just feels like smoke and mirrors.
And there was part of me, the reason I wanted to talk so much about it, and sorry for going on and fucking on about it, but the reason I wanted to talk about it was because I didn't know why I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was because I wanted to put another nail in the coffin or... if I wanted to try to get something out of it, but I guess I kind of ended up doing both.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is weird for me.
I get it, man.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's called Humanity.
Yep.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
And I won't be watching.
Sounds conflicting.
Yeah. Don't need to.
So,
hashtag squad goals.
Yeah.
Yes.
From 2018, this is released by Mar Vista Productions. They do a lot of Christmas movies and low-budget movies that are just kind of shelf fillers. Ambitious high school senior Samantha is a serious journalist, both for the school paper and for the yearbook.
And against it.
But she's just as serious about her friends.
Good.
Nate, Jillian, and Rudy, all of whom are vying with her for a full-ride local scholarship to college. Oh. Very close to her mother, Emily, who is the school's guidance counselor, Samantha finds her reporting taking an investigative turn when two of her classmates and contenders for said scholarship are murdered.
No.
You into a false sense of drama there.
When I read that thing through, I was like, blah, 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 blah.
The murder?
Doesn't seem like it's going in that direction at all.
Yeah. Directed by
Anyway, she murdered them, the end.
Yeah. directed by Danny Boyle. Weird that he did this right after T2. Danny J. Boyle, that is.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
I just thought that was funny.
Danny J.
What a...
It's B-O-I-L.
Yeah. Danny Boyle, who's done a bunch of other movies for this company, I believe.
Right.
Most of them thriller-looking.
Squad Goals.
This is starring a bunch of people who haven't been in anything that you've ever heard of.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Are you sure?
So, yeah. Pretty much. This Jaboyle. Movie...
Danny... Is it, or is it Danny Jaboyle?
Danny Dan Jaboyle.
Holla at Jaboyle.
Danny just joking. Boyle.
He did a nice movie called Ex-Wife Killer.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He must...
Stalked by my ex?
Yeah.
Oh, he's
there's
called,
a lot of
he's
those.
Called the Ex-Wife Killer. Who do you think did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, his back-to-back movies, Stalked by My Ex, followed by Ex-Wife Killer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Someone
sounds
was
very specific to what was going on.
He also directed a movie
life.
Called Marriage of Lies.
Oh, my God.
No.
This is a marriage
this
of lies.
Unraveling.
His next movie was called This Movie's About You, Brenda.
He also has a movie called Killer Assistant.
Oh.
So you got that.
This guy's got an exciting life.
Oh, yeah. And a TV movie called Man Stroke Woman.
What?
Yikes.
Holy balls.
So,
and a Give Me My Baby.
What?
A movie called Give Me My Baby.
Is this a madcap farce? Because
yeah.
It sounds like it
Who's
is.
Who's got my baby?
Good Lord. Then Abduction of Angie,
yeah.
I assume is where he takes his baby.
Yeah.
And then finally, of course, Squad Goals.
Hashtag Squad Goals.
Right.
And if you don't already know, the title is in reference to the main character, Samantha's... column called Hashtag Squad Goal, where I write about my friends.
Yay!
Wow. And other people in the school.
Seems like a small audience for that.
Hard-hitting journalism. This movie sucks. Oh, my God. It was so painful. I wanted it to be amazing and dumb and funny so badly. Oh, my God. It's terrible.
Where does it lean? Like, does it lean closer to teen horror or
it's
like teen drama?
Teen drama. Teen drama all the way. It is so much of it's.
Is it like watching an episode of The OC?
It is like watching an episode of the most boring TV show in the world.
So The OC then?
And every once in a while, somebody gets murdered, but it's not like a fun murder scene. It's like. There's a scene where a girl gets murdered and she's standing by a window, and then there's a reveal that she fell out the window and she's just now on the ground. And you're like, oh, I missed all the stuff.
I missed all the murder.
Yeah.
Are you sure you weren't watching Judgment Night?
Yeah. Oh, boy. This movie is about a high school student. At the beginning of the movie, there's a play that they are rehearsing, and... it's Romeo and Juliet, and the guy playing Romeo kisses the Juliet and dies. Ah!
Right then?
Right there. Starts foaming from the mouth, and he dies because he had a peanut allergy, and it turns out somebody put peanuts on
her
lipstick.
On her face.
On the lipstick. And there's a... I'm jumping around, but there's a flashback when they reveal the killer to just... This is like the funniest thing in the whole movie, to just the killer... taking lipstick, opening it, and then dunking it in peanut butter. It's the only funny thing in the movie, almost. I was like, that's it? You just shoved it in a jar of peanut butter.
How did she not notice that? Yeah.
I swabbed like peanut essential oil, so you wouldn't. Right. It was just like, brunk.
Nice. Skippy.
This movie is so boring. It is so much just about, like, the ins and outs of their dumb drama. There's a lot about one of the characters being revealed to be gay, and he kissed somebody's boyfriend, and there's all this drama about that doesn't really go anywhere, or doesn't ring, you know, true or honest, and there's nothing to it. It's just like, dude, someone's gay? Dramatic! There's a lot of the guidance counselor is the one character's mom, and then there's like the dean or whatever of the school. The principal of the school is like, seems to be covering something up, but what is it? And nothing adds up to anything of interest. Mm-hmm. There's no thrills. There's no mystery.
But what are their squad goals?
The squad goal is just the name of the thing. It doesn't have anything to do with the murder.
So the squad doesn't even have goals, hashtag?
This is bullshit.
It is bullshit.
I mean, Buster Rhymes had hashtag squidod goals.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the most bad, plain television.
Flip mode was the squidod.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's a shelf filler all the way. This is just something that they could get out with a poster that'll make people press play on Netflix or rent on Redbox. It's so boring. It's so, like, it's not, the acting is really bad, and there's moments where the acting crosses over into it becomes funny. The line deliveries of the awful dialogue, which exists solely for no other reason than to get whatever piece of information they need, like, you know, it's a movie where they're just like, her, but she's crazy, she's such a wild character, and you're like, thanks, okay. You just have everything is told to you.
Right.
It's awful. It was so boring. It was
Here comes Crazy Nancy. We call her that because she's crazy.
She's wild. Oh, I like photography, so maybe it's weird that I'm taking all these pictures, and I'm going to be the guy that you think it is the whole movie until it's that person for whatever reason. Like, there's no surprises. You know it's not going to be the character they're making it out to be, and then when it is the one character who is doing the killing, you're just like, this is stupid, and I hate it.
Good.
And it was painful.
Awesome.
Utterly painful.
That was hashtag peanut lips.
Yeah, that was the fun. That the only other thing that I laughed really hard at was at the beginning when they're going to be going out on stage to do what turns out to be a rehearsal, but you don't know it at the time. The guy who plays Romeo is trying to get Juliet to practice their kiss scene, and she's like, not till we're on stage. And I was like, you would have to rehearse that before you go out on stage.
Yeah.
She's like, you can't kiss me. I'm like, it's a play.
Yeah.
What? It's the worst.
Yep.
Worst movie.
Great.
Hashtag squad goals. Mm. Don't watch it. It's terrible.
Danny Jaboyle.
Holla Jaboyle.
Speaking of punishments, were given an album.
That's right.
Why'd you give us this album?
I gave you Aerosmith Done With Mirrors because... Yeah.
8th album. Yeah. 85.
Because I think it's weird that they're like this like rock royalty band, but their huge comeback that started in 87 with Permanent Vacation, from that point on,
was written by people who could actually write songs.
They had professional songwriters come in and write their shit. And that's total garbage. But I also think I always wanted to know, how bad was this album before that not only their management and the label was like, you need help writing songs, but they went, yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
We don't know how to write a song called Love in an Elevator or Dude Looks Like a Lady. We need professional help to do that.
Yeah.
If you're writing a song called Dude Looks Like a Lady, you probably do need professional help, but not from a songwriter.
Yeah.
So I want to know how bad it is. I like early Aerosmith.
I love early Aerosmith. Yeah. Back in the Saddle.
Dude.
Looks Like a Lady.
Kings
and Queens. Fucking Dream On is
Dream
a fucking
On is
dope
a straight
song.
Up brilliant song.
Yeah. And the thing is, they wrote those songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just fine.
And I being somebody who doesn't know a lot about Aerosmith other than from here on out, you know, we did Permanent Vacation for a Time Bandits
did
episode.
Did we do that or did we do Pump?
I think we did.
We did Pump.
Did we not? Maybe.
We haven't done Permanent Vacation.
Okay. Yeah. But I knew that stuff forward.
Yeah.
And so when I was listening to this album, I did circle back and listen to some of their other albums. I listened to some of the early stuff, trying to find... What were their first few albums? Oh, I listened to Rocks because I'd heard it was one of the better ones of that era and some of the other stuff.
What's the first one called? Is it just called Aerosmith?
Just Aerosmith, yeah.
That's a good record.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't
and then,
mind
and
this.
Then it's the, and then they become like a lot of rock bands of that era. It's like the singles are good. You know?
Yeah.
Mostly, when I was going through my Aerosmith phase, I mostly listened to Greatest Hits Volume 1.
Yeah.
And honestly, they really are that band. Like, all you really need is Sweet Emotion Dream On, and that's about it. I love that shit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I loved Permanent Vacation, and I loved Pump. Like, I fucking played the shit out of that album.
Yeah, and so for me, it was interesting to hear Done With Mirrors because this, and it's interesting to hear it with that perspective of like, this was the you know, they don't like this album. Apparently, it's fairly well received with some of their fans, but
I have a question before we start.
I don't know where they get that intel from.
Actually, that's what I read too, is that this was critically acclaimed, but didn't really do that well. And I'm like, what critics were you asking?
Yeah. Well, see, this is my thing. This is one of those scenarios where, much like when we get new albums by bands that are on the radio, and I'm just like, this just sounds like the radio. Mm. To me, I'm like, yeah, I don't like this, but it doesn't sound... It just sounds like a Permanent Vacation or a Pump.
Oh, but, see, I very
but without
much...
their hit. Like, it sounds like here's the stuff that you would get on this era of their stuff, but... without the big hook, it's just kind of bland, but sounds kind of muddy.
I felt like listening to this album, I was like, this album sounds like Contractual Obligation.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because there are whole songs that are built on one riff that just play, just that riff. Just that riff for 3 minutes, and Steven Tyler going, but everybody seems tired.
Yeah.
Like, and it just seems like this album is a fucking slog.
And it's only, like 35
and it's only 35 minutes.
Long or something.
Yeah, yeah. And it feels like 135 days.
Well, because there's nothing to it. Like,
there's nothing.
It just sounds like to me, like, you know, it doesn't necessarily sound like Permanent Vacation, but it sounds like the Aerosmith. Like, if I heard it, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's Aerosmith, and oh yeah, I don't really like them that much. But there's nothing like I understand how this is an album where they were unsatisfied with it, and it, like, you could hear that it would lead to, like, okay, they need some fucking hits, they need some songwriters,
because
but it doesn't sound like such an insane departure from what I know Aerosmith to
be. No, it just sounds like if you killed Aerosmith but made them make an album.
Yeah, like they're a tired band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like just absolutely coasting on fumes, not giving a fuck if there's any songs on this album,
because
there's not.
Yeah.
What is the one that makes me laugh every time I read the name
My
of
Fist
it?
Your Face.
No.
That's a song I hear, right? What's going on there?
Not much.
Just lyrically the same old kind of... it's not even like the kind of like retarded adolescence that you would normally get from them. It's just boring rock lyrics and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My favorite... This does have my favorite song title on it, and that's... it's called The Reason a Dog.
Yeah.
Because that's not even a sentence. It's called...
I bet that was the title of the memo for the meeting where we're getting you guys professional songwriters.
The reason
you guys wrote a song called
The Reason a Dog. Those are words, certainly. I feel like it was just one of them. Like, Joe Perry was just so wasted at one point. He was just sitting on the couch like this, and all of a sudden he's going, The Reason a Dog! And then he fell back asleep, and they were like, I guess that's a song? And then that was a song.
Nice. Yeah, it's not good.
It is. It's aggressively not good.
Yeah, it's... It, and And apparently they, you know, consider it almost like an album that they didn't finish.
Holy shit. I'm sorry. I'm just reading the lyrics to My Fist Your Face.
Yeah.
It's a...
So, some lyrics.
What the frickin'?
Well, are you going to share them?
Yeah. All right. So this is the lyrics to My Fist Your Face. Wake up, baby. What you in for? Start the day upon your knees. What you pissing in the wind for? You must have snorted too much bleeze.
What?
Too much what?
Bleeze.
What?
Bleeze. East House Pinball Wizard, Full Tilt Bozo Plague.
Nice.
Second floor Trekkie, making warp speed out the door.
Nice.
Oh, my God. It really does just sound like somebody put Steven Tyler in a blender.
That whole chunk of East House Pinball Wizard, Full Tilt Bozo Plague, Second Floor Trekkie.
Yeah.
That's just a whole lot of words.
It's just word.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
And then the chorus is, please no more, my fist your face. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
That's good delivery. God.
There's one where he's talking about, and I don't remember what song it is, but he's like, your sister, she likes to grab my microphone or something. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, God, dude.
He means his dick.
It's about his dick.
That's it. And I feel like that's what I really don't like about Aerosmith from here on out.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that kind of just like
their dicks.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Isn't there a line on one of their songs where it's like, oh, the only line I want to be in is in the crack of her butt or something? Like,
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. One of those songs. Like,
I'm reading the second verse of My Fist Your Face now, and I'm a little confused at where this one goes. So we got a, hey, Betty Boop, you got me drooling. I'm buzzing around your hive tonight. You play the hooky instead of schooling. That's the hooky. You play the hooky instead of schooling. Son of a bitch, put out the light. 13-year-old hookers take a sack right through the bars.
What?
I don't fucking know. Take a sack.
I do like that at one point in those lyrics, he like yells at someone to turn the lights off. Like, he's writing lyrics of like out of nowhere, like, turn out the light.
Son of a bitch, put out the light. I gotta put my sack through these bars.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
No, it's a.
I don't like what just happened.
Yes. It's a terrible record. It's very bland and boring.
Jesus Christ!
What a bunch of fucking scumbags.
Yeah, and doesn't. Yeah.
Just fucking scumbags.
Jesus
Gross.
Christ, Aerosmith.
Yeah.
My fist, your face.
Yeah. So. Terrible record. What are we getting this week from me?
That's a good question.
I forgot until just now.
Yeah. All right. Just so put your sack through the bars.
Yeah. Find yourself a 13-year-old hooker.
Jesus fuck.
Oh,
it's funny though. I have my list. I didn't scratch off Red Pill Blues by Maroon 5. That was on there from... So we talked.
Wait, I sounded like Dave Matthews instead of.
We talked a little bit this week about some wrestlers, much like we mentioned The Rock.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, very much in passing.
Some wrestlers came up, namely one. His name
doesn't
wrestle
anymore. It seems to me wrestlers exist.
The Rock Johnson. So I'm going to use this. Very, very
segue.
Great segue that has a lot of deep roots into the episode that we just had.
Yep.
To segue into my punishment, which is, did you know that John Cena had a lot of rap stuff going on in his career?
I do know he does the rapping.
I did not know that.
He's got a record called You Can't See Me. By John Cena. So let's check it out.
Yeah.
Because I have heard some of it, and I will not play my hand on whether I think it's not as bad as you might think or if it's even worse.
Yeah.
But he has a record called You Can't See Me.
I've heard some of this.
Yeah. I think it led to his opening music. There's that like really iconic thing. I don't know. But yeah, I've heard some of this, and there was like apparently some he had some help by some like reputable people in the hip hop scene. So we'll see how his hip hop record "You Can't See Me" is.
Yeah, all right.
So there you go, John Cena.
There you go, John Cena.
John Cena! All right, we're going to roll.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we rolling for?
Movies.
Oh, we got...
Oh, there's two versions of this
two
album
versions.
On Spotify. One with swearing, one without.
Ooh, are you going to listen to the one with swearing?
I'm going to get the one with swearing.
Don't tell
the
anyone.
The second song's called Don't Fuck With Us.
Yeah.
No, no. What's the one without swearing called?
Don't Fart With Us.
Let's have some cake.
So this week, Pacific Rim 2 is coming out, but the release date is also for Isle of Dogs, but we are unsure if that will open in Toronto.
Yeah.
It's not listed on the website, but it might be playing limited. We're not sure.
Yeah,
so the idea here is if Isle of Dogs does not come out, which is clearly the winner between those two movies, we will see Pacific Rim 2, but hopefully
or
we'll get to see Isle
choice,
of Dogs.
I guess.
Or a winner's choice if it doesn't open.
Right.
But we're aiming for Isle of Dogs, and if not...
Yeah.
We'll see where we land.
I love dogs.
Yeah. The loser jumping off that Pacific Rim.
What if by accident I watch Must Love Dogs?
Yeah.
What happens then?
A film I saw in theaters.
Yes.
We're doing a bit of association with that Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
And there is a new Atlantic Rim.
Part two.
Yeah. From Asylum, I imagine.
Yeah.
So this is a mockbuster trying to confuse people into watching a movie that sucks. So one of us will do that. And two of us will see, hopefully, Isle of Dogs.
Ha.
All right, let's roll.
Ah.
I'm rolling. That's a three.
Mm-hmm.
An easily beaten three. That's
just
a
like
six.
That beats
much,
a three.
Much more easily.
It's twice as much.
That's a six.
I also
six
got
well.
A six, yeah.
So you guys tied. You got to roll again. I'm out of the equation. Phew. Yeah. Okay.
Well, so you've already lost. But now we have to see who super wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good.
I really hope Isle of Dogs doesn't come out because I want to see that so bad.
Yeah.
Hey, who lost last year and where's our punishment?
Damn.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to give you guys something, and I haven't yet.
Yeah, take your time.
The ultimate punishment.
Yeah.
I'm taking my time so long, it's a new year, and I haven't given it's spring, and I haven't given it to you yet. Yeah, I'll think of something.
All right.
Okay.
You
really
guys have to go see Joan of Arc
yet.
Live.
Okay,
no,
well,
no.
I quit the podcast.
Yeah, it's done.
That is our episode. We will talk about Atlantic Rim 2 and hopefully Isle of Dogs, Pacific Rim, or something else. We will listen to an album by John Cena, and we will come back and talk about it all next week. Please rate and review us on iTunes. Email us if you have any questions or comments, info@modernsuperior.com, Facebook and Twitter @SYNWPC. And for those of you who are Patreon members, we will see you beyond the Patreon wall. And if you're not, you got to get in there.
Get in there.
You can do it at modernsuperior.com by clicking the Patreon button. And don't forget to go check out lots of other shows on there as well. Otherwise, as always, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet.
I love you, baloney sleeves.